Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining me now is John Pike, who's one of the world's leading experts on defense, space, and intelligence policy. He's director of globalsecurity.org, which is focused on innovative approaches to the emerging security challenges of the new millennium. John Pike previously worked for nearly two decades with the Federation of American Scientists, where he directed the Space Policy, Cyber Strategy, Military Analysis, Nuclear Resource and Intelligence Resource projects. He's also been at the forefront of utilizing satellite imagery to monitor worldwide weapons facilities. Welcome to Background Briefing, John Pike.
Good to be here.
And clearly the Iranian regime is very happy to display on video what appears to support their claims that they have captured an RQ-170 Sentinel stealth aircraft intact. What do you make of the pictures coming out of Iran?
Well, it's hard to understand. I mean, most of what we think we know about this incident is coming from Iranian government and news sources, which are noted for bragging, making stuff up, and generally distorting the underlying facts. So we certainly cannot accept at face value what they're showing us. The problem that I have in looking at this video is that for a UAV that crashed, it seems to be in remarkably good shape and looks really a lot more like a mock-up that some people over at the university might have made up to put on show. The thing is taped together in a way that is easier to reconcile with it being a dummy than being the real thing. It's very hard to understand how this vehicle could have crashed and yet remain in such good shape.
So in terms of it being in good shape, and if you're suggesting there's a possibility of it being a dummy, would the Iranians have access to the right kind of pictures and stuff? In other words, nobody from the CIA or the Defense Department has come forth with that suggestion, which you'd think, since they're familiar with the aircraft, presumably if the Iranians build a dummy, so far it's fooling people, right?
Well, I don't know that it's fooled anyone. The Iranians would obviously have access to any number of photographs of this UAV that have been posted on the Internet over the last several years, so I don't think they'd have any trouble over a period of a couple of days of coming up with something that they would be able to put on display. Very difficult to understand how this thing could have been in such good shape, having been brought down by some happenstance.
Well, I suppose the fact that there's a curtain underneath it, they've only showed the top surfaces of it, and they've surrounded it with a curtain with anti-American propaganda.
That's right.
What would they be disguising underneath it?
Well, I don't know that they're disguising anything. They just want to get it up to eye level so people will be able to get a good look at it.
Well, in other words, if as they have said, they were able to hack into it and somehow bring this thing down to land on their soil intact, they're not showing the landing gear. That's what I'm suggesting.
Well, we don't see any landing gear there. And, of course, the reality is that if this thing was landing without landing gear, it's going to get banged up pretty good. What we see, in fact, however, is a dent on the front of the wing, and otherwise the skin of the vehicle is pretty much intact and unscratched. It's just very difficult to understand how they could have done that.
So you don't buy the idea that they were able to hack into it then?
I'm deeply skeptical of that.
Well, they say the Iranians say they have a special unit.
Well, the Iranians say a lot of things.
Well, I'm not...
You know, I mean, they say a lot of things,
most
of which turn out to be somewhere between exaggerated and just flat out untrue.
But from your position as a technical expert on these platforms and on space surveillance and reconnaissance, et cetera, is there any way that you could hack into a drone's guidance system? Because presumably, if you could, that would render the entire drone program useless.
Which is why, presumably, it would be extraordinarily difficult to do that, wouldn't it?
Well, so they have countermeasures then, right?
Well, the command link is going to be very heavily encrypted. And if you don't have the password of the day, you're not going to be able to get in. And if the Iranians could hack in to our drone command network, they'd be hacking into everything all over the place, which manifestly they're not doing.
So the claim that the Iranian Army's electronic warfare unit brought the drone down on the 4th of December as it was flying over the city of Kasmar, which is apparently about 140 miles from the Afghan border, you don't buy that.
I don't buy it. The notion that they would be able to hack into the command data link, I don't buy. The notion that they might have been able to shoot it down with a surface-to-air missile, I don't buy. The notion that it encountered weather problems, had mechanical problems, and Iran is trying to magnify its own military reputation, I have a much easier time believing.
So, but what do you think happened then? I mean,
well, like I said, I don't know, but it's easy to imagine that it had a weather-related problem or it had a mechanical problem of some sort, and it crashed, and Iran realized that they had the possibility of a propaganda coup on their hands, and the result is the circus that we've seen for the last 3 or 4 days.
So, in other words, they whipped up this mock-up and trucked it out to make the CIA feel bad that they...
They're not going to make the CIA feel bad. They're trying to make the CIA look bad. What they're trying to do is make their military look strong and America's military look weak. The reality, of course, is precisely the opposite of that. But in order to intimidate their neighbors and to reassure their own population, Iran is bragging all the time about how great its military is and all kinds of new and important weapons they've come up with. And then when you get to the underlying facts of the matter, it turns out, of course, to be nothing of the sort.
So is there anything within the skepticism that you've put forth here, John Pike, and some of the other suggestions that somehow or other, and I don't know the somehow or other, they actually have ended up with this latest generation of U.S. spy drones intact? There's nothing that you can think of that could, in other words, between the more logical thing that they only had pieces of something if they shot it down or if it crashed, or this is a mock-up. Is there any other possibility?
It's very difficult to understand how they could have recovered this aircraft with the negligible damage that appears in this video. It's very difficult to understand that. You know, people do win the lottery. You know, strange things do happen. Improbable events do occur. But particularly when we're dealing with a government like Iran that is prone to making crude propaganda, I am always inclined to be skeptical of any of the claims that they're making unless they're backed up by much more convincing evidence than we've seen thus far.
So, John Pike, are there any echoes, though, here of the U-2 incident in the sense that the first cover story out of the CIA was that the plane was flying, looking down over western Afghanistan, where apparently there are no Taliban? I mean, that's basically Northern Alliance country. So the cover story didn't make any sense. I mean, isn't it pretty clear that this plane's been used to look at Iran's nuclear sites?
Well, it would make sense that you'd be using a stealth drone to fly over Iran as opposed to over Afghanistan. America controls Afghan airspace. You really don't need stealth aircraft there. If you were keeping track of Iranian nuclear missile facilities over Iranian airspace, you'd be wanting to use a stealth drone like this one.
And they did use this particular type of drone, I believe, to loiter over the compound where Osama bin Laden was hiding out and give the White House real-time intelligence as that raid took place.
That's been reported.
Right. So how many of these things do they have? Because my understanding is that, you know, if the Iranians' claims are real and they have this thing, it's a big loss. But furthermore, I believe there aren't too many of them.
Well, we don't know how many of them there are. The number would have to be in the dozens, however. And there are undoubtedly more where this came from.
Uh-huh.
This would not be the only classified stealth drone that the intelligence community would be flying. They've spent billions of dollars on similar drones over the last decade, so undoubtedly there are plenty more where this came from.
Well, there's a report in Thursday's New York Times about this drone, this loss of this drone, that suggests that it has an extremely sophisticated radar that the Russians and the Chinese would love to get their hands on. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't.
But would that seem to be plausible?
Well, it's certainly plausible that it would have a radar on board. It would certainly be plausible that the Russians or the Chinese would like to get a hold of it. Whether they're going to be able to do anything with it or about it is a completely different question. Both of these countries have had a very hard time copying Western technology. If they were able to copy it, they wouldn't need to copy it because they could build it on their own.
Well, didn't the Chinese copy the F-22 stealth fighter? At least they trucked out something that looked remarkably similar.
Well, they trucked out something that looked similar to the F-22 stealth fighter, the same way India, along with Russia, trucked out something vaguely similar to the stealth fighter. But the bottom line is that if you're going to build a stealth fighter, you're going to wind up with something that has a family resemblance to the American stealth fighter. The difference, of course, is that we first flew our stealth fighters over 20 years ago, and now it's taken 2 decades for the Chinese to catch up. Generally, the Chinese are running about 2 decades behind the United States. If you look at what we were doing in the 1980s, those are the sorts of things that we're seeing the Chinese do today.
Well, but there's the assumption that on these top secret CIA programs that they employ the latest technology in intelligence gathering and surveillance and satellite imagery and radar, etc.
Well, they do, but simply having one, you know, radar antenna isn't necessarily going to do you any good if you don't have the software that's doing the signal processing for it. And having a jet engine that's highly fuel efficient doesn't mean that you can build one on your own. I mean, the Chinese got a copy of a commercial jet engine, Western jet engine, the CFM56, back in the early 1980s. This engine was derived from the American military jet engine that had been designed in the 1960s to power the B-1 bomber. Well, here the Chinese are a quarter of a century later, and they still are not able to manufacture reliable, fuel-efficient copies of this engine that they've been working on for 25 years that's based on an American design that now is nearly half a century old. So simply having one copy of a piece of Western technology doesn't mean that you can emulate it and manufacture it on your own.
So just in terms of hardware versus software and how valuable the software is in terms of these intelligence platforms, when early in the Bush administration there was the loss of that Orion spy plane, the Navy plane over China, and they got the plane intact, but apparently they did everything they could aboard that plane to destroy the software. Then the subsequent reports came out that the Chinese actually got some value out of it. So can you give us a sense of would the software be on this spy platform the Iranians claim to have?
Well, it would have to have some software on
sure.
it. Once the plane is damaged, that software is going to evaporate.
I see. So is there some kind of erasure, destruct mechanism?
It's a classified program. I'm not conversant with the details of it.
I see.
And frankly, if I was, I certainly wouldn't be telling a radio audience about those details.
No, I understand. I just was trying to assess. I was trying to do our own damage assessment for what it's worth.
Well, it's a classified program. We don't know that much about it. What we do know about it is the shape of the air vehicle, and that's most of what makes it stealthy.
I see. Well, it sounds to me, though, John Pike, just in closing, that you're not losing too much sleep over this.
Well, I'm losing a lot of sleep fielding reporters' questions over the last several days, but I'm not losing a lot of sleep about Iran, China, or Russia getting this drone.
I see. Well, I thank you for joining us here today.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Take care.
You too. Again, I've been speaking with John Pike, who is one of the world's leading experts on defense, space, and intelligence policy. He's director of globalsecurity.org, which is focused on innovative approaches to the emerging security challenges of the new millennium. John Pike previously worked for nearly 2 decades with the Federation of American Scientists, where he directed the space policy, cyber strategy, military analysis, nuclear resource, and intelligence resource projects. He's also been at the forefront of utilizing satellite imagery to monitor worldwide weapons facilities. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about how the Senate has blocked the confirmation of the new head of the Consumer Protection Bureau, which, of course, makes Wall Street very happy.
Need me to fall down so you can climb. up, I hope.